Welcome to The Culture's Money. The Culture's Money is a podcast created to discuss how we multiply the $1.2 trillion in spending power possessed by the American Black community through the vehicles of investing, personal finance, ownership, networking, and most importantly, collaboration. We are the culture, baby, and we are the financing that we've been seeking. Now, let's get into this money talk. And here's your host, Jamal Vitos.
This is The Culture's Money. I am your host, Jamal Vitos. Some of you may know me on other social media platforms as Leo Grand Prince, but however that you know me, I hope you know me to be an advocate for financial literacy, generational wealth, and financial health. I'm happy for this episode. I have yet another guest, another dynamic woman. This has to be probably my fourth woman in a row. So fellas are coming up. My next episode is actually a guy, so I'm happy about that. But the ladies have been showing out for y'all, so I'm not even mad about it. I found this young lady on Twitter just randomly, and social media is a great way to network and platform. So if you don't use it correctly, I advise that don't think it's robbery. Say she's in the tech field. So I would like to introduce you guys to my latest guest, Miss Kirst.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
No problem. So I like to start off asking you to tell the guests the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Kirsten Harris. If you see me go viral on Twitter, my name is Ilana Musk. Everyone kind of assumes my name is Ilana, which is very much a joke to me. I am CEO and co-founder of Her Ride. We are a female-friendly rideshare app that has started in Atlanta, but we're looking to expand. But other than that, I work deeply in brand development with Fortune 500 companies and bigger brands also.
Okay. I guess this is fascinating. We start with the whole Twitter name going viral thing, because I can relate. When I started on Instagram and Twitter years ago, I kind of in a jokingly way couldn't figure out a name. So I named myself Leo Grand Prince because I'm a Leo. And I just thought Grand Prince ran with it. And it became its own thing. And people would see me out and just say, oh, ain't you Leo Grand Prince? So is that kind of what happened with your Twitter handle?
So with me, I'm kind of different when it comes to studying mentors and aspect of certain people. And I wouldn't say I study Elon. I think I just love his habits. Mm-hmm. And I do that with everyone. So I feel like I'm an innovator. I'm an inventor. So I was like, yeah, I'm Elon Musk. And people know me as that because it's like, I do everything unconventional like he does. So I'm like, okay, yeah, Elon Musk literally ties in and he's very sarcastic. And that's literally in my blood type. So I kind of mix it in with him.
So I guess you can appreciate his very, people think Elon tweets and says stuff randomly. I think he is a brilliant marketer.
Oh, yeah, no, it's on purpose. It was either Elon Musk or Aisha Curry, since everyone says I look like her also. So
I didn't want to say that. I did not want to say when I looked at your Twitter. I was like, am I tripping?
You just have round faces. That's all. I just have a round face. I like Aisha Curry. I look like Jurnee Smollett. It's just round faces.
Oh, my goodness. So I've had, you have to be my second tech person, also a woman I've had on the podcast, but yours is a little bit different. My previous one was more on the, you know, managing system sides and all that. Yours is a little bit different. You're building a whole app and rideshare and all that. So tell me what experiences of people you may know caused you to start your ride sharing business focused solely on women?
So me and the tech side is kind of funny because I'm probably like the last person you interview. I'm not so deeply in tech, but I am a person who know how to micromanage people in different fields that I'm not even in. Even though I'm not in tech, I've been learning so much over the last couple of months to the years up to building the app. I'm like Steve Jobs, you know, how they say like he didn't write code, but he has this huge company. But with my CTO, she's a co-founder, but she's the one that you won't see a lot. She's the one who graduated in computer science. She's the one that works with application development. And my side of it is the user experience. How are we building this to better the community? And how can we build this to make things safer to women? So I was there for the marketing, the design, the user experience part, while me and her both worked on the code. Even though I don't know a lick of code, she taught me so I can have involvement in. But later down the line, I kind of grew into the tech field when it came to building an app. So I didn't start off in tech. I started off in brand development and marketing to create a better user experience. And then I ended up working in the back ends of the app. So it kind of just grew on me after a while, because I'm the type of person who likes to learn everything and master it no matter what.
That's so funny. Well, this is not for me, because I studied finance in college and I'm actually in the financing field. But it's funny that so many of us study things and wind up in fields completely opposite. And I don't mean just slightly. I mean, it'd be way off from the original study.
See, I don't want to say jack of all trades because it sounds so bad. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I actually started off in communications and marketing. I moved over to e-commerce, studying e-commerce. I studied the psychology behind marketing with neuroscience and neuromarketing, brand development, helping big brands, how to build, helping smaller brands build. I've done author work. I've done everything in every single field. If it's something out there, I'm the type of person who likes to obsess over things, and I will master it within like a couple of days. So I don't think I'm ever into one thing. So no one can really say, oh, Kirsten does this, Kirsten does that. It's everywhere. But it's like my name before, people knew me for e-commerce, which is very funny because like 5% of the stuff that I did, but it's what I was most known for. And now the app is like the biggest thing. So it's like everything combined into one within the app, because it's marketing, user experience, and now the tech field. So yeah, it's so much.
Let's talk about, you said you have a co-founder and she's more of the tech side. Now, they talk about how important it is to, one, I always stress to people that as an entrepreneur, it's very hard to be in the business by yourself. I always tell people to get a partner, because one, it's just a lot of work on yourself. And two, you want someone to complement your skills, to have different skills than you. Mm-hmm. For an example, years ago, when I first graduated college, I started this like consumer brand with a best friend from college. It was like for men's beards, and we were very different. He was more the big idea face thing, and I like the operational stuff. I don't care about being the face and doing the interviews and all that. I like being the power behind the everything else. So talk about that experience, about working with someone and how important it is to complement each other's, you know, skill set and talents.
You know, it's so crazy, because I used to be in the face of a lot of stuff until I was like, you know what? There's more money being in the background, which it is. It definitely is. But when me and her came together, it was more so of a thing where it's like, she was like, Kirsten, I cannot be the public person, because she was like, I'm a snap. I'm a curse. I'm not the pleasant person to be, you know, in front of everything. She was like, you have your credentials. You have your mannerisms and how you work with people, how you communicate with people, and how you know how to like basically adapt to situations. And she was like, you will be up there first, better. I was like, yeah, no, I don't want to be. I literally fought it for like months. Like, I don't want to be, you know, like the face and so much over it. But definitely with me and her, it's crazy because not a lot of people can work and coexist with other people at all. But with us, it's like we complement each other, because I know her strong suits. She know my strong suits. And the way that we try to work with each other is that we try to explain each other's field so we can have better understanding. Like, I feel like if you hire someone for the job, I feel like you should be able to know what you expect them to do and what you're paying them to do. So you're knowing like, hey, I think you're kind of slacking right now. And that's what we do to each other. We kind of check yourselves. I mean, you know, we kind of check each other on everything that we're doing. So we're only good because we hold each other accountable for stuff, because she wouldn't go far if it was just her in the app, and I wouldn't go far if it was just me in the app, because I'm not the tech savvy one and she's not the marketing and personal one, because she's like, it's both of us, but it's mainly you over the app. So she'd rather be the private like side of it. So no one would probably ever see her. She'll probably be in the crowd, but you wouldn't know she's there.
Where y'all, get a lot of people always thinking that, you know, their partners have to be friends and not, you know, strangers or just associates. Were you guys really good friends, or did you go to school together, or did you kind of meet, you know, out in social events? How did that come about?
You know, the crazy part is how we met. It's so funny. We met on Twitter.
That is hilarious. That's hilarious. So how did that go about?
We met on Twitter. It's so funny because I have an active following within like branding and all that type of stuff. And I didn't know she followed me. And I think she liked one of my tweets and I went to her page and she sparked my interest in a lot of stuff. And I sent her DMs. I was like, hey, you're in Atlanta. Oh my gosh, we're both in the same city. And we both talked about a lot of concerns we have and a lot of projects that we're working on and like different things we want to do. And then we eventually came up to concerns that, you know, how she's liked to work in application within development. And I was telling her some of the things that I had concerns with. And the way we kind of came together is that we were talking about rideshare apps and everything. I told her my experiences, not so much with rideshare apps, but within my trust within a lot of men and a lot of stuff, because I don't blame men for a lot of things. But it's like you automatically have a guard up when you're about to meet a stranger or hop into a car. And I was telling her certain things like this. And we end up developing this idea of the app itself. And it kind of just blossomed into like, oh, gosh, this is actually a tangible thing. You can actually download it. And it took us so long to even get to this point because we had to come up with a purpose to the app and that we both had to believe in, like on both our sides, because we refused to build something if we didn't see it through or if we didn't have some type of intake into the mission of what we're trying to give into the community.
So it sounds like the partnership blossomed organically, which is true. Is this your first partnership, or was this, you know, hers, or had you guys had previous experiences?
So I know some of your following is probably female. So when I say this, it's going to be very funny. I'm a Capricorn. So I'm a workaholic. I'm very controlling workaholic also in a sense. So this is crazy because this is the first time I ever felt comfortable with coexisting with someone. I would feel like I have to be in control. I would feel like, oh no, it's just me. Because remember, I'm the person who works in marketing. So I feel like I know what everything looks good and like what doesn't look good. So this coexisting together with us, it's just like the first time for both of us really solidly working together on a project with someone else. I've tried it before. No, didn't work. Didn't work. Not at all.
Okay. When you guys started, was it bootstrapping? Did you get funding? Did you seek funding? I want you to take the listeners through the entrepreneurial journey of it, like how the whole business operation and structure come together.
Oh, so a lot of crying. So, but we don't have any investors. We would love investors, but we study a lot of stuff and great people and how to talk about investors and like venture capitalists and how sometimes not a good way to go in the beginning. But sometimes you do have good investors and sometimes you have bad investors. But we're fully self-funded. People have never known that, but we're fully self-funded. A lot of savings, a lot of putting together, fully self-funded with everything. But in the beginning of entrepreneurship, I tell every business and brand I'm working with, you need to have a brand outline. How are you structuring your brand? Who is your audience? What is your brand identity? How are you carrying yourself? And do you want to build a community? I believe in every brand is successful once you build a community, because that community will work as like evangelists for you and they will self-market for you. I made that one tweet and now everyone's self-marketing for me because I created evangelists within our community for an app that people barely even knew about. But once I kind of laid out the structure of who we are, people were like, you know what? I share a common interest with them. I'm going to join the community. But that was like the biggest part of everything is our brand outline. If we didn't have our brand outline, the app would have been shambles, because it's like we're just running an app just to serve to make money. When in actuality, we're running an app to build our community, to create safety within our community for women. But overall, it's the whole process for the brand outline, probably like 3-4 months for us, because we really had to study other platforms. We had to study do's and don'ts where certain people were missing loopholes. But I tell people all the time, the wheel was meant to be reinvented. So if you see a platform doing something, it's like, cool. I think you should add this. I think you should do this with our platform. I think we should, you know, X, Y, and Z. So we really had to cross everything out the way, because people think it's like, oh, you can just put an app up. It's literally a lot of detail oriented things. So it's like, we believe in asking the customer questions and how do you feel about this? Because if you're able to sell back to your customers what they actually wanted as a request, it makes your experience as a rider or as a business owner or as a customer better. So we really had to go through all of that. And that took us like a couple months because we had to get customer feedback. We had to do research. We had to get statistics and everything of numbers of women, you know, being sexually assaulted, kidnapping, different things, and how to create a safe environment. How can we make our app better? Should we offer training to our drivers to spot certain victims or to take self-defense class and certain things? So the whole process took so long just for the brand development part, just that. But when it came to application design, oh, she was quick with it. We had our bugs. We tested them out for a couple months because you had to test everything out. But other than that, our brand development is what created the structure for our overall application. If you don't have that foundation at all, it's basically going to fall. So it's like, I can't think of the saying, you know, stand for anything, fall for, no, if you don't stand for anything.
If you stand for anything, you fall for everything.
Pretty much. And we wanted to build that solid foundation for our app before we even carried it out, because you wouldn't just support anything if it was just out there because it was female owned. People support us right now because they see what we're trying to do and our mission. And that's because we're female owned and we're black owned also.
Okay. So Atlanta typically, from what I know, isn't typically a tech hub. It has some tech.
It's getting there.
It's getting there. It has some tech, but you know, it's not Silicon. So was the basis of it, did you think it was a good headquarters for your business based off what you kind of said with the statistics of domestic violence, of kidnappings, of sex trafficking? Did you think that was a good central HQ point for your app?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, because when it came to it, when we were trying to figure out what makes Atlanta different and why are we choosing Atlanta, because we're both from here. Our main thing was, I can't pronounce this word, so excuse me. Atlanta is technically the hub for sex trafficking because we have an international airport. So it's more so of the sense of what goes on here that no one really knows, even if our numbers aren't high for it. It's basically a hub. So we feel like we should basically target things while it's going on in the hub, not where it's bigger everywhere else. But for us to be here first to tackle and to educate certain issues here, and people have to understand why we're starting here, because it's the hub, because things are going up under radar. Because have you heard of Quick Trip before?
No, I haven't.
So Quick Trip is a gas station. Quick Trip, they have these safety signs. So pretty much saying we're a safe haven or like a safe spot. So pretty much, you know, if you're being trafficked or anything, you're able to run into that Quick Trip and let them know, and they'll help you here in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot of things.
It's kind of like a discreet adult Amber Alert.
Somewhat. No, actually, basically it is. Adult, you know, adolescents, all that. Because it's all ages.
I want to phrase this right. So are your drivers female only? I couldn't get the info from the site. I was trying to research to kind of prepare myself today. All right. So are your drivers female only that pick up your female clients?
Yes, they're female only. And we are LGBTQ friendly. Plus, we also have to add an update in to add the pronouns onto there. But we're definitely mm-hmm. friendly for all of that. You know, legally, you know, some people you actually can't say on paper that, you know, you're technically female only. It's like the same thing when you're bubbling certain things. Hey, are you male or female? You still have to include those options because it's like you really can't isolate certain things. But we are female run and female only drivers.
I find that interesting about the legality. I mean, I know this may be different sectors or I might be being too anal, but when people say that, I think about places like Morehouse or Spelman because you're in Atlanta. Their whole brand is about being gender specific. So why would it be illegal for you, but legal for them? Like they technically Spelman only accepts women. So Morehouse only accepts men.
You know, it's, you know, crazy thing is there are some women that go to Morehouse, but you don't know.
We're talking about transgenders in this day and age?
No, you know, some people, they go to, you know, if you graduate from Spelman or somewhere else or Emory, you'll go to Morehouse School of Medicine. You're still there. Or some people.
Okay, I got you.
But you wouldn't know because it's like very rare. But it's just certain, like, basically with job applications, because it's like you're discriminating, basically.
So in regards to getting drivers, are you having an influx of female drivers because they don't have to compete with male drivers? You know, it's kind of like they have an exclusive contract with you guys, or is it, you know, you're struggling a little bit, or maybe, you know, the female drivers like the fact that they would only have female clients and they feel more safe not, you know, knowing that they wouldn't have to worry about, you know, a man in the car.
So we definitely have a lot of female drivers who want to drive for us. But the thing is, people don't understand when it comes to developing an app like this, because, you know, like every company, you always want to study your, you always want to study your mentors or your competition. It's hard to get any drivers out here. People don't realize it's easy to get riders. We have, we've reached our year's quota for riders within a day already.
Oh, that's impressive.
It's amazing for drivers. Hey, everyone, drivers. It's so hard to get drivers. People don't realize that, because the way the other platforms work, they offer an incentive program, basically. So it's like, you know, hey, you get $200 at your 20th ride, you know? Hey, if you're a new rider, you get a free ride. But us being self-funded and us working towards creating like a Kickstarter or a campaign, because we don't have investors, we have to do certain things like this in order to bring drivers in. It's like drivers will come in if there's an incentive attached to it.
Okay.
So it's kind of hard on that part.
I saw that, I did see on the site that you do extensive personal background checks on your drivers. Are you finding, I always, maybe this is not the right thing to say, but I always find, is it easier, are you finding that it's not a lot of kickback with your female drivers as it would be with male drivers who are more susceptible for having, you know, criminal backgrounds?
I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
Are you having to deny a lot of drivers for potential criminal? Okay.
No, not at all. I feel like a lot of people, they understand what our platform is immediately, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna opt out. Okay, I'm not. I feel like all of our drivers are, a lot of people who apply with us, they kind of resonate with our mission and what we're trying to do. So that's the main thing we really wanted to have. We want to have two types of drivers and passengers. We wanted people who are inside of our community who find something about us. They're like, you know what? I support them. I want to work with them. Or, oh, it's female owned. I want to support them. It's either or. But definitely with us, we do extensive background check. And it's kind of crazy because people don't realize this. A lot of platforms use mainstream like background check websites like Checker and all that. I really can't say much what ours is because my CTO works on it. But when I tell you, she goes through each of the background checks by like single-handedly with our team. Like she goes through each one of them because it's easy for those mainstream platforms for someone just to slide through easily. You can't do that with us because people don't realize with us, we focus on customer safety and driver safety, not just customers, because a driver can be kidnapped or like sexually assaulted or harassed at any moment also, as much as a customer can. So when it comes to searching for like right drivers and all that, anyone can actually be approved, but you never know if that person's actually that person, because these days it's easy to use someone's identity. So we go through single-handedly all of the applications for their drivers and approving and like communications. We believe in our platform to be personal. So you would have a rep that will communicate with you if you need help through the process also, because we learned a consumer, if you get tired of something after 2 seconds, you leave and stop doing it. So we notice a lot of drivers be like, okay, this is too much work to do. Let me just stop. We have no problem helping you. So we try to be personal with all of our customers overall also.
Okay. You mentioned earlier that you guys are self-funded, which I love. I think the best experience for entrepreneurs sometimes is the bootstrapping, like having to figure out the financials, not getting the initial startup capital, having to spend a couple of years, you know, really, you know, grinding it out. But that takes sometimes some financial freedom that everyone doesn't have. Did you guys being partners where did you have financial disciplines where your finances already in a row? Did you know, where did you learn that financial literacy to put yourself in a position to take this risk or in that step funding?
It was definitely the funding part was, I wouldn't say it was the hardest part, because you know, the refunds, like college refunds, tax and all that stuff like that. That's where that kind of came about.
Wait. So let me get this straight. I've never met someone who did this. So you took a refund you got from college and built the and invested in the business?
Yes, that's mainly what the CTO did.
They're gonna love this. I've never heard anyone actually do this. They normally blow the check on something that is a depreciating asset or gives them no value, but you flipped it into an entire business. Oh, please tell me more.
Listen, I like flipping the littlest things. I flipped $29 because of drop shipping, everything. But it was mainly because, okay, one, with me, A lot of people don't know, I'm a college dropout. I dropped out my second semester of college. I dropped out. My CTO, she graduated, though. I dropped out, and guess what? I was supposed to graduate this year, actually. I'm actually kind of happy I didn't graduate, because you know what? I wouldn't have a graduation then if I graduated this year. So it's really kind of a gag to me. I'm like, oh, but I feel like us going viral was my graduation overall, so it's really nice. But yeah, no. It's like, would you rather have an like a loan from a bank that you had to pay back, or your school refund? And it's like the school refund being nice and hefty, when it's like, we're working on an app, or don't want to come to class with a new Louis bag. Which one is it? I gotta, you know, I can get the Louis bag in the future if I just, you know, invest this right here. And not everyone kind of thinks that way, because like, I have a habit, and we both have a habit, knowing the communities we grew up in. We wanted better for ourselves. So we were always doing so much like, how can we be better than we were? How can we be next? We want to do something that's not mainstream. We want to do something that's going to take us to the next level. And we've always been innovators with everything that we do. So a refund check was nothing, because it's like, okay, this easy flip refund check. If, you know, like tax refund, I feel like those are the easy flips. But for a lot of people who want to fund their app, people don't know about this. You know, some websites, you have to pay to put your pitch deck and like your portfolio on them in order for, like, in order for, I think, some investors to find you. Two of the best free platforms people do not realize: LinkedIn and Bumble. Bumble has a business section on there where you can actually search for investors.
Wait, isn't Bumble like a dating app?
See, now look, people, let me know. It's a dating app, but guess what? It's not just a dating app. You download Bumble, they have three phases of it. You can either do Bumble Dating, Bumble BFF to find friends, or Bumble Business. Bumble Business is what you click on.
You better drop them gems for them, because I definitely did not know. I knew about LinkedIn, of course, because I've used it for years, and you're right. Like, that's some of the best, like, investing and free, you know, connecting apps. But the Bumble thing, you just served me. I did not know that.
I'm gonna make a post about it, like, probably like later on this week. I'm like, because everyone been asking me, oh, how do you find investors? I'm like, we didn't find investors. Oh, because it's like, hey, we know investors, they would like something tangible also. So if you were to seek out someone, they want something like, hey, so imagine we come in now as we are. I'm like, yeah, we got this amount of riders right now. All we need is drivers and this capital. It would be good. But no, Bumble Business, you can network on there. You can find investors. They even have like different sections where it's like, okay, what are you searching for? I'm searching for an investor. You literally spill the tea of whatever business you have on there. I even signed back on a Bumble Business. So I was like, you know what? Let me just hop back on there. Even though I really don't need it, let me just hop back on there. And you're able to find so much on there. Like, I found so many people in tech field saying, hey, can I work for you? Can I work with you? Can I intern with you? Like, I have this degree in tech. But for LinkedIn, for people who are confused with LinkedIn, the best part about it is, you know, find people, if it's not investors, but if you want to open up your own app or like build your own web page or whatever, think of tech schools and think of all the top tech degrees and majors and people who develop apps, applications, or whatever. Search those key things on LinkedIn, network with them, pitch them something. The best people to search for are the ones who are juniors and seniors in college, or the ones who are in their master's program to want to like network with you to build an app for you for free. So pretty much it's all, you know, is both of you guys winning. That's the best place. But for investors, it's not that hard.
So you're currently in Atlanta, as the city where you guys app or serve your clients. When's the next city, or what's the next couple of cities, or not specifically, how long before you expand to, you know, 2, 3, and 4 cities? Is that within a year, 18 months, or you're still working that out?
So we had a 6-month goal this year. No, not 6-month goal. We had a year goal this year that we actually reached, not even 6 months, but within 2 days. So anything can happen at any moment now. But with me, I like to work in increments of threes, you know, pretty much if it's the years, like 3, 6, 9, 12. But
that's how my mind works. I work like that.
Yeah, because
you take it in small chunks instead of eating the whole thing.
Yes, I can't do a 5-year goal. I don't believe in 5-year goals, because I feel like it's not tangible if I can't do my goals in small increments and see them actually. So when I think about it, LA has been the top on our list when it comes to expanding. So everyone keeps telling us to expand to LA, but they're not realizing that there's a lot of rules and regulations to follow around for the rideshare company, you know, policies out mm-hmm. there. And it's kind of expensive too. So when you think about expanding somewhere, you have to understand what their structure is towards laws. So when you think of Uber, Uber is a pioneer for a lot of this stuff. They broke a lot of laws. They created a lot of bills and laws. So they pretty much created a way. So a lot of stuff is hard to expand to other cities. But LA is the top of the list. A lot of people from Detroit have been top of the list. But we're trying to do it region by region right now. And whatever has the less regulations towards rideshare. Like, you know, New York. I love New York. They don't like Uber, like in certain places.
Well, when you're putting 500,000 cabs out of business, I'm assuming, yeah, they probably don't.
Oh, yeah. No. So a lot of people, they just feel like, oh, you can just up and expand, which we can. We can click up a button. But we have to understand each chapter of a city. What are their policies? So when we do expand, we have a city manager out there working to expand and to recruit drivers for us. And then we're able to push for, you know, a lot of customers then. But that's how, like, all the rideshare platforms kind of work.
That's dope. So I always end the episodes by telling my guests to give some words of encouragement or some advice to fellow entrepreneurs about their field. There's people, for you being a Black woman in tech, bootstrapping a company, kind of give, you know, a minute or two about any advice or any insight that you can give, as well as give them all of your Twitter handles, your LinkedIn, where they can find you. Give them even the bubble if you want, and let them know where they can reach you, and, you know, your business website and all that.
Okay, so our website is getherride.com. Socials are getherride. All platforms. My socials are all Kirsten S. Harris on Instagram and Twitter. Something that I really love to set with people who feel like they can't start a business in any field. It's something that Steve Jobs said, and he said, and I quote, "What exactly a conductor does that a metronome can't? The musicians play their instrument, I play the orchestra." So with that, he's saying, you know, I am with tech. It's like, I'm not familiar with tech, but I know how to micromanage people who are in tech. And I know how to create something bigger because I know how to expand things. With being an entrepreneur, I believe in faith without work is dead. So you have to be consistent. People feel like this happened overnight. This didn't happen overnight for me. We've been working so much the last couple months. But for me as an entrepreneur, starting at 16, I used to walk 15 minutes, take one bus, one train, walk another 15 minutes, just be mentored for 3 years in high school. So nothing happens overnight.
Oh, wow. 15 minutes to catch a bus and a train. That's like the typical, most people wouldn't make that sacrifice or those commitments. And I think that's a good tidbit for you to end. So we would like to thank Kirsten for coming on, telling us all about her app, her business partner, her experiences. Definitely check out all of her handles, all of her websites. We're definitely looking forward to her expansion. When she does make more moves and all that, I will be watching on Twitter to bring her back to you guys to get the latest news, the latest insights, the latest updates. This has been the latest episode of The Culture's Money.
That's right. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Culture's Money. You can follow Jamal on Instagram and Twitter at Leo Grand Prince. That's Leo Grand Prince. You can also get in contact with Jamal via Facebook and LinkedIn. Just type in his name. That's Jamal, J-A-M-A-A-L, Vitos, V-E-T-O-S-E. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time right here on The Culture's Money, baby.